Blessings to you, and I'm glad to share the Sunday with you. We're going to be reading from Psalm 118 this morning, a psalm that has been near to me for many years and has led me toward a practice that I think we recognize but may have lost, and that's the simple practice of gratitude. Like you, I have been affected too by the recent events again in our country, and it's easy to point fingers and to assess blame and to try to find political solutions, but we know by now that there's something not wrong with them or whatever. There's something wrong with us, and as we prayed, only God can make us right. And I think the gate into that healing, that rightness, is gratitude. And we're going to talk about that this morning, and we're going to hear about that from Psalm 118. So follow with me as I read that. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks. For you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Brothers and sisters, psychologist Dr. Charles Shelton was treating a young woman who had suffered too much in her short life. He started to treat her as he normally did, getting her to open up about her hurts and her struggles, her past and present pains and sufferings and sorrows. But he doubted he was helping her It occurred to him one day that all their sessions had been focusing on the negative events of her life. So the next time he saw her, he asked to shift the conversation to what this young woman was grateful for. The question surprised her, and she was quiet for a moment trying to process that. So he asked again, "I know we've talked about a number of painful things, but can we shift the discussion for a moment? I'm wondering what you might appreciate about your life, what you are thankful for." And Dr. Shelton noticed how spending a few moments each session exercising simple gratitude with this young woman gave her the ability to find some needed healing. Gratitude is good for the heart and soul. Because we are made in the image of God, we best relate to God by a life of gratitude. Listen to Psalm 118. "You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, sings the psalm writer. And now notice that the life he goes on to describe was not a carefree, easy kind of life. He talks about enemies, about battles, being delivered, rejection. He had his troubles. He chooses to live based on the truth of his salvation. And the way to do that is with thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord. Gratitude in Christian faith is a way of life responding to God's gift of salvation. It is loving God and neighbor and church. It is being stewards of creation and life. Not just saying thanks, but showing gratitude by our thoughts, our words, and our actions. But just as it takes the work of the Spirit to get us to see our sin and own up to it in confession, asking for forgiveness, and just as it is by the grace of God alone we believe and respond with faith, receiving our salvation, so also our gratitude is something we have to work out and grow into. For some reason, chief being that sin has broken the image of God in us, thanksgiving, thankfulness, doesn't come naturally to us. I mean, no one has to teach us to be selfish, right? Or to get angry, or how to be scared, or to get anxious. Parents, when your child falls down and scrapes her knee, you don't have to rush up to her and pick her up and teach her and say, "Now, when that happens, you have to learn how to cry." Right? We know how to do that. But what did mom say to you when you received a gift? She went to you and she said, "What do you say?" You say, "Thank you." She was teaching you thankfulness. We have to learn gratitude. And keep learning. Because as we get older, it seems for most of us, we struggle to make gratitude the primary way we relate to God. Teenagers, you're out with your friends on Friday night and your phone buzzes and you pick it up and it's mom. And you go, "Oh, isn't that great? Mom is calling to see how I am. She loves me so much. Thank you, Lord." That's what you think, right? Or you're older and your adult son calls you up and you say, "Oh, isn't it great that Junior is calling us just to get us up to date what's going on?" No, what do you think? You think, "Okay, what's wrong?" The pastor says he wants to come over. What do you think? "Oh, man." See? But then more seriously, all the news, right? The shootings, the terror, the violence in our streets. It brings down our discussion into levels of fear and anxiety and blame. And how do we protect ourselves? Instead of conversation about how to bring peace and hope. We won't face the broken ways of our country with worry, fear, skepticism, and the like. We'll only be able to bring light into the darkness when our gratitude to God is right. The Holy Spirit never tells us to live in fear. The Bible never teaches us to get up worried and anxious, or to live selfishly for ourselves, or to stay angry. Instead, the Spirit says, be thankful. Choose gratitude and giving thanks. This is the gate. This is the way out of trouble and the way into deliverance. Give thanks to the Lord. The writer of Psalm 118 frames his life in gratitude. The first verse and the last verse are the same. They're reminders to give thanks to God, for he is good. His love endures forever from start to finish, from the beginning of the day all the way to the end, from life's first breath to the last breath we take. And that's not because life is all roses and chocolates and holidays. In between, there's all kinds of troubles and worries to face, anguish, surrounded, we read, pushed back and about to fall. The writer even says, the Lord has chastened me severely. Chastened means to be disciplined, to be punished. Severely, he adds. Yet the way to live well and with God is not with doubt or blame or playing the victim. The psalm doesn't say, I got a little leery about God. Or doesn't say, it was best for me to leave the church. Nor does it say, life is bad for me, so there can't be a God. In giving thanks to God, he saw through. He saw past the trials and the troubles to salvation. Verse 7, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. Verse 21, I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. And the benefit is joy. Verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankfulness leads to a fullness that nothing in this world can give us, a freedom to go into our day with a joy, a power to address what's going on. Joy, not based on having more or getting one's way or getting out of trouble or being in control of our situation, but a choice in view of who God is and what Jesus Christ has done for us. It's powerful living there. So, the question is there then, how? How can we begin to exercise our gratitude? Well, we've got to start where we are and then trust the transforming power of the Holy Spirit to draw us closer to the Lord in thanksgiving. So let's start where we are this morning. Let's think of our gratitude as a spectrum and place ourselves on it and then prayerfully ask to keep moving toward a thankful life. So on the far side of the gratitude spectrum are those who are pretty much ungrateful persons. You have decided to take on the identity of a victim, or you figured life is owed you, or you'd admit that you're never really satisfied. You always want a little more. You can't see life for the gift it is. One example in the Bible may be the story of the 10 lepers that Jesus heals and only one comes back to give thanks. And then Jesus asks, where are the other 9? All 10 were healed. How come only one said thank you? So there's ungrateful persons. Now, chances are you are not a purely ungrateful person. But there may be areas in your life, certain relationships, blessings you take for granted. experiences of God's presence you miss, for which you have not responded with proper thanksgiving to God? Where am I ungrateful? It's a question to ask to begin moving along this spectrum toward gratitude. Further to the right on the spectrum are those who have learned to say thank you for gifts received, maybe out of politeness or custom. The Bible gives us warnings about this when it comes to thanking the Lord. When it comes to thankfulness to God, we have to examine ourselves whether we think our saying thanks is some sort of payment back to God for His mercy, for His grace. Just like when we first learned to say thank you because that's what you're supposed to do, have we told ourselves that going to church, being a little religious, well, that's just what you do because you got to pay back Jesus somehow for a sacrifice? The prophets continually warned Israel about this superficial religious observance without the giving of their hearts and their lives to the Lord. Like in Isaiah 58, where the prophet says in judgment, "What are you doing all of this for? Who are you doing it for, God or for yourself?" We move a few more steps on the gratitude spectrum when we choose to recognize the blessings of the day with thanks. It's that old gospel song, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." I think of Psalm 103, a psalm that we use often while we're celebrating the Lord's Supper, calling us to thanks because of God's daily blessings, getting into that habit. "Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Next is living a life of praise to God. I go into my day having made the choice to lead with a thankful heart in what I do, so that my motivation is gratitude in what I do and say. I think of Zacchaeus. When he said to Jesus in Luke 19, "Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.'" He's become a grateful person. When I begin to change my default response from fear or worry or me first to praising the Lord and putting others ahead of myself, I'm becoming a grateful disciple of Jesus. And finally, the gratitude experts. They are those who have learned to give thanks to God in all circumstances. I don't mean we thank our Heavenly Father for our illnesses. I don't mean that. Or when I lose my job, or because my marriage is in trouble, or things worse. God is not the author of evil, so we don't thank the Lord for such things. But in those situations, we see through to the presence of our Savior and Redeemer, who works for the good of those who love the Lord in all things. It's not that all things are good, nor that all things come from God, but God works in all things to work His good. As the prophet Habakkuk said, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." Gratitude expert right there. So, where are you on this spectrum? And how about committing to moving further along? So how might we do that? Well, biblical gratitude to God is about more than just saying thanks. Gratitude is a way of life, a heartfelt offering of life to the Lord. So here are a few things we can build into our way of life, into our routines, into our habits that help move us along in our gratitude. First, becoming a more grateful believer begins in prayer. Summarizing the Bible's teachings, the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. Prayer comes first because it teaches us our daily dependence on our Heavenly Father. Just like when you have a difficult situation and you didn't tell mom or dad about it, and then they found out anyway somehow, and they asked, they said, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you share what was going on? Why didn't you ask? We were there to help you. So when we pray, opening our hearts and lives to God, we honor Him as Father. It becomes our way of putting before Him and His mercy all those times we doubt God's goodness. And what do we do with that? We could wear that and it can bring us down, or we can confess that. Now, what's bothering you? Lord, I doubt you at this time. I doubt your goodness. I doubt your power. He says, give that to me. A second devotion in becoming a thankful person is praising the triune God. Psalm 118 says, you are my God, and I will give you thanks. So, you are my God, I will exalt you, praise you. And we understand this psalm looks ahead to Christ. He is the stone the builders rejected that becomes the foundation, not only for our days on earth, but for all eternity. And our praise to God is founded on that capstone of sacrificial love. For by the cross of Jesus, our forgiveness is assured and eternal life promised. John Calvin reminds us that we lose our gratitude when we commit one of two errors. We either invest too much into this life, or we make too little of what we do or don't do with this life. With the first error, we make our lives all about ourselves instead of God. And with the second, we despise the precious gift of life God has given. He says, so true, we must remember life is like smoke. Blessings are like applause that fade at the end of a pleasing performance. We have to get over being stunned by the brokenness of life and our base and foolish admiration of it, he says. What ultimately matters is eternity, and by grace alone we are destined for heaven. But we also have to give God due praise for the life we have. He says, this life, however crammed with miseries it may be, is still rightly to be counted among those blessings of God which are not to be spurned. So how is your praise? You know, worship is not a spectator sport. Your task in worship is not to be like the Russian judge at the Olympics. Singing is not just for experts. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. And this carries over into our daily worship. Romans 12 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So our trust and our obedience is a healthy measure of our gratitude to God. This is the third way we give thanks to the Lord, by obeying His word, by giving ourselves to love God, to love our neighbor, and to love Christ's church. Those three big love commands of Scripture. It's about honoring the Lord, respecting the gift, being stewards of creation. So, knowing some of these practices we can apply, how about we measure our progress this coming week? My wife and I practice what's called the daily gratitude inventory. And this is what we do. First, you have to pause, usually sometime toward the end of the day. You have to get quiet. No TV, no social media, no phone, no conversation. Just a few moments of quiet between you and our Heavenly Father. Put everything aside. And then review your day. What happened today? Think of the people you saw, the work that you did, the situations of life. Did you meet a friend? Did you have a difficult situation at school or work? Did you have a great lunch? Did you miss the bus? Did you hear some good news? Did you have some fun? How did you react in all of these things throughout the day? What emotion was there? Or were you afraid? Were you anxious? Were you happy or sad? Did you respond in any of those moments today with thanksgiving to God? Why or why not? That's reviewing. Then you relish. You relish those times when you did manage to be grateful. And you think of them again and you renew your thanks to God. And if there were times you should have been thankful and you were not, then take the time right there. Confess to the Lord and properly give thanks. And then after you've reviewed and you've relished, you respond. Ask yourself, now that I sense the gifts of God to me today, in what ways can I show thanks tomorrow in my love for God and others? So resolve to give of yourself in some way tomorrow. Maybe a note of thanks, maybe an offer of help or service, maybe a resolve of obedience or repentance. It'll help us learn to practice gratitude first as our primary response to our day, putting in place all those other emotions that want first place in your life. So step by faithful step, we learn to be grateful first instead of anxious first or angry first or selfish first or fearful first. And then if you can, share with someone else how it's going. And Voskamp says, I know, there is poor and hideous suffering. And I've seen the hungry and the guns that go to war. I have lived pain. And my life can tell. I only deepen the wound of the world when I neglect to give thanks. For early light dappled through leaves, and the heavy perfume of wild roses in early July, and the song of crickets on a humid night, and the rivers that run, and the stars that rise, and the rain that falls, and all the good things that a good God gives. So let's keep Psalm 118 in our hearts this week. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever.